You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriots First and Goal. I am Alex Shane here breaking down the 2024 NFL Draft with my Rich Hill. Rich, it's been a while. We took some time off as there was not much going on the calendar between free agency and now, but we're back, and a very happy draft day to you.
Yeah, a very happy draft day to you, too. I love the draft. Honestly, this is, along with free agency, the best part of the year is when everyone has just rosy cheeks and is really excited about all the potential that is in store before everything gets just completely dashed on the first day of the draft. So, Alec, how are you doing?
I am doing well as well. This is the first time in a very long time I've been legitimately excited and intrigued for the draft. It's weird. I'm a very big hypocrite here, Rich Hill, because I love March Madness. I don't follow basketball that much at all, but it's really fun for me to fill out a March Madness bracket, and my bracket just gets destroyed every year, like everyone else's. But I'm such a bigger fan of the NFL, and I have a hard time getting into the draft because it's such a crapshoot. No one really knows anything. There's no clue if a player is going to work out or not, whether he's first overall or the last guy picked. No one really knows how it's going to work out. But this year, there's a cool air of anticipation, excitement. They have the third overall pick in the draft. It's Gerard Mayo running his first draft. So the odds of them trading back and getting a second-round DB are pretty slim, I think. So it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, like, we've talked about this on our last podcast, that I feel like the Patriots have done everything that you would kind of hope for them to do so far in the offseason. You know, they extended Kyle Duggar, which is great. They brought back Anthony Jennings and Wainu. They've like been putting the money in the right spots. They re-signed Josh Uche for a bit, Hunter Henry, like very reasonable contracts, brought back Kendrick Bourne. Check, 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 check. Obviously, they have a long ways to go. They have a pretty barren cupboard on a lot of positions on the offensive side. But with this draft, I'm excited for what they're going to do because they've given me no reason so far this offseason to be like, oh my gosh, they're going to like trip over their own feet. I feel like they've done nothing but kind of exude the exact type of like smart decision making that you'd want from this type of a front office.
You'd think so. I mean, Elliot Wolf seems to instill a lot of confidence in a lot of people. What I really like about this draft is I don't know if we're going to be sitting here on our next podcast, Rich, asking who the hell was that guy the Patriots drafted in the first round, where the analyst didn't even have highlight film of him. It was just like a still shot of him in action, and it's all they could muster up in the brief time. I think there's a lot of speculation, but I think we're pretty, at this point, as knowledgeable as we can be. Yep. On what's going to happen in the first round. After that, it's who the hell knows. But that's a good enough transition into first and goal, Rich Hill. I'm going to go through the list of the Patriots draft picks real quick, where they're selecting in each round of the draft.
Yep.
And I would love to get your overall take on the draft. This is interesting because in the past, the Patriots have really stockpiled picks, and they've had like two picks in each round, or they had seven picks in the third round, but it's a pretty sparse overall in terms of the general picks. So they had the first round pick, pick three. Everyone's talking about pick three. That's no shocker. Then they're pick 34 in round two, pick 68 in round three, pick 103 in round four, pick 137 in round five. They have 2 6-round picks, number 180 and 193, and pick 231 in round seven. And in a stroke of bitter irony, the sixth-round pick, 193, it was a trade for Jacksonville for Mac Jones. So there goes one first-rounder out the door for a sixth-rounder in return. And their round seven pick, pick 231, is from Chicago Bears for none other than N'Keal Harry. So we are reaping the benefits of two first-round picks in round six and seven of the 2024 NFL draft. How depressing is that?
Woof.
Yeah. But that's okay. So let's talk about this, Rich Hill. Pick three. This has been on everybody's mind since like December when everyone finally figured out where the Patriots were going to draft. They need a quarterback. They need a receiver. They need offensive tackle. They have a lot of holes on this roster. all signs point to one of the top three quarterbacks off the board going to New England. Drake May, is it McCarthy? Yep. If Caleb Williams, for whatever reason, doesn't get drafted by Chicago, I can't see that happening. But that is really everyone's general consensus. Do you agree? And what are you hoping they do with this pick?
Yeah, I mean, looking up and down the roster, like, they still have some holes. They've done a good job, true Belichick fashion. Honestly, they haven't bucked a lot of the convention there, where if you were to start playing games tomorrow, it wouldn't be the end of the world. Obviously, like, still room to improve. They don't have as many blue chip players this year as they've had in years past, but, you know, top three players on their depth chart of every position other than quarterback, you're like, okay, that's cool. Like, Ramondre Stevenson and then Antonio Gibson as your top two running backs, that's really good. You look at your wide receivers, obviously Juju Smith-Schuster had a really bad year, but like, how much of that was a weird offensive system versus what could this year actually entail? But Demario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne, fingers crossed he's healthy. KJ Osborne, pretty middling group, but like one that, like, I don't know, it's fine. You obviously still need a blue chip top tier talent. At the tight end spot, Hunter Henry, Austin Hooper, that's a good 1-2 punch. Same thing, go up and down the offensive line, defensive line, linebackers, secondary. Your top of the depth chart, or if you went into the season, this is your 1-2-3, you're going to be fine. But this is where you have the opportunity to bring in the players that'll tip the scale and put you over the top. And obviously, biggest glaring weakness is at quarterback. Jacoby Brissett, he's going to be a fine bridge quarterback, but he's not going to be a top 15 quarterback in this league. He's not going to allow you to contend, but he's going to allow you to not be the worst team in the league, probably. And so that's one of, like, the glaring holes. And so if I'm the Patriots, I'm looking up down this roster. Obviously, you can't win without a quarterback. But if I were to sit back and say, like, that's the only thing that you need fixed, that wouldn't be true. But also, I wouldn't be like, you absolutely cannot leave the draft without a player at position X. And then that gives them a lot of opportunities where outside of quarterback, they can take best players available.
Yeah, so there have been a lot of trade offers apparently being fielded by the Patriots. None of them have even come close to what they're asking for, which leads me to believe at least they're going to select at three. Mm-hmm. If I had my dream scenario, honestly, this is not the most sexy pick, but I would love for them to trade down into like the middle of the first round and take a tackle. They really need an offensive tackle, and the hit rate for tackle versus quarterback, running back, receiver in the first round is actually pretty good. It's like 70-80% versus less than 50% for quarterbacks. I know a Drake May would be really exciting, and he's some of the future of the franchise, but I would love him to trade back and get a tackle. However, Rich, I don't think it's going to happen, and I think it's basically going to be either May or Daniels, depending on what the Commanders do.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I agree. I think everything is pointed to Caleb Williams going to the Bears and then Jaden Daniels going to the Commanders. And so likely Drake May is going to fall to the Patriots at third. That all comes down to, what does Van Pelt, what does McAdoo, what does the brain trust think of his potential? Is he going to be that Josh Allen type that was pretty rough around the edges from a, you know, pure just, you know, footwork, that type of ability, but has the ceiling is the roof kind of potential? You know, he had 8% of his throws were big time throws, according to Pro Football Focus, which was the best of this draft class. Like, he has all of the it factors. He just needs to be a little bit more consistent. And if he can pull that together and be in an environment that allows him to do that, that's cool. Then, like, I wouldn't be upset with taking him on that one. But then you look at, what are the other teams that are potentially interested? You know, the Giants at sixth overall, they're interested in trading up to be able to take one of the quarterbacks, because they also know that the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13, the Vikings at 11, those are all other teams that are calling to move up. Those are the ones. So if the Patriots are going to trade down, it's either six to the Giants or 11 to 13. That's what you have to consider. Can the Patriots trade down from three to any of those spots and still get one of the blue chip players that they're looking for? Because if they don't feel fully committed to Drake May, then trading down is the best option. Because, like, you can't tell me, I know JJ McCarthy is going up all of the draft boards and all of the scuttle, but, like, you can't tell me that that's not just another Mac Jones situations where this player just rode the coattails of the rest of the offense to win the championship. Like, it's fine. Like, I don't need JJ McCarthy in my life right now. But if you can get a team like the Vikings to say, here's 11, here's 23, here's next year's first, and then here's a blue chip player, whether it's Jordan Addison or Christian Darrisaw at the left tackle spot. Like, if you can get a team to say, you know what, we will give you a lot for this player, I'm okay with it. As you said, a lot of the offers have been laughable. I'm imagining it's not as much as they would have hoped at this point in time, which is okay. Everything's gamesmanship at this stage. But I also wouldn't mind if they traded down.
No, neither would I. Especially because, do you see any scenario, Rich Hill, where the Patriots take Drake May at 3 and he isn't the week one starter? Jacoby Brissett starts.
Yeah.
With Drake May, time to learn. I feel like when you draft a quarterback in the top 3, the expectation is he's your guy week one going forward. But I would love for whoever they draft a quarterback to start maybe week 9 or 10 after some time to get used to the system.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I feel like the Patriots are in a position where, like, they don't feel that pressure. I think for a lot of other teams that are picking that early, either it's like a coach on their last string, a GM on their last string, said, like, we have to show that this guy has got it. I think that they're in the position where they can really take the best case option with Drake May. And if he beats out Brissett, and I wouldn't be surprised by that, then so be it. That's great. But I also think that there's not going to be a rush to start him. There's not going to be a, like, we have no one else on the roster. It is Mac Jones and Cam Newton. Like, if Drake May truly just beats out Brissett, then they're going to go with him. But if he's not ready, if he's being too inconsistent, that's why they have Brissett. Brissett's a great quarterback to learn from. He's definitely someone that all teams that he's been on have found him like a valuable contributor in the quarterback room. So honestly, I don't think that they would feel like we have to do it, but perhaps it would mean that there's a slightly shorter leash for Brissett until they pull him and put May in.
Maybe. Like I said in our last podcast, he was my favorite acquisition in free agency. I think it's a great fit. Everyone loved him when he was here in New England during his first run around. I think he'd be a good bridge quarterback for this entire season at absolute worst. So I'm not worried about the quarterback position in terms of that. I just really like to see whoever starts, or whoever gets the draft pick for the Patriots as a quarterback. It's just rarely a good recipe to just throw a rookie in there and just hope he succeeds, because there's way more misses than hits in that particular scenario.
What's up, guys? It's Alex Shane from Patriots First and Goal, and I cannot wait to tell you all about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. You just pick more or less on 2 or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the NBA playoff action and win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a whole new level during basketball's postseason. That's right, you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball and hockey entries today. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app. It also offers weekly promotions and special offers on the biggest moments in sports, as well as Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your accounts this basketball season. I know this week I'm taking my guy Jason Tatum to have more than 29 points and Jokic to have more than 10 rebounds. So just download the app today and use the code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. That's CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less, it's that easy. Prize Picks.
It's also gonna be nice for Chill to watch the draft and have a pick in like the first like half hour of it and have to sit there.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, here's hoping. You know, like the number of times we've all sat through round one and the Patriots picked like 24th and then they traded down to 28th, then they traded out and we all just watch it for nothing. Don't see that happening. Rich, we talked about pick 3. Everyone's talked about pick 3. Drake May, fine. I feel like because they're picking so high in the draft this year, rounds 2 through 7 have kind of been just completely forgotten about, and no one's really spent a lot of time diving in. So I'd love for second down to talk about second round. There's a lot of holes, like we talked about. Tackle, there's some good tackle prospects, pretty deep tackle class. I think a lot of people are saying the Patriots go receiver with that second pick. I know second round receivers haven't panned out that well in New England, or first round receivers, or third round receivers, or I think even fourth round receivers, kind of round 5 through 7 when the Patriots find their receivers in the draft. What do you see the Patriots doing at pick 34, assuming they stay with it? Maybe it's a trade up into the first round and pick a tackle there, but if they stay at 34, where do you see the Patriots going?
Yeah, I mean, it's a situation where the Patriots, everything that they've told us is that they want to, air quote, get more offensive weapons. They want to get playmakers that can threaten the defense and give Drake May, whoever is their early quarterback pick, whether even if it's Jacoby Brissett, give them a player that opposing teams have to scheme for, because they don't have that on the roster. And I like Pop Douglas. They just don't have an offensive player on that roster that opposing teams say, we can put our top guy on here and it's still going to be a dogfight. That's where the Patriots need to get that blue chip player. So I'm curious to see how things fall out on that one. Roughly around the turn. So they have that 34th pick overall. There could be some tackles. I honestly think that offensive line should be considered one of those, like, we need to get an explosive player on this one, because, you know, the best way to set up a young quarterback for success is a strong offensive line. Re-signing Onwenu, really good on that one. I think that they have some good pieces there, but they're obviously not a strong offensive line. They haven't fully replaced Trent Brown. They need to have a good left tackle. So if they were to get a Jordan Morgan out of Arizona or a Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma, I would be very okay with that. They would be roughly the sixth and seventh tackles off the board. That's a fair time for them to go. If for whatever reason, and teams are expecting a run for the offensive tackles to go before, I think that opens the door for a lot of other wide receivers or players like that to get taken.
Yeah. I mean, I know everyone's talking maybe quarterback receiver is the average Patriots fan's dream. I think there's enough depth of the receiving class that there's some good talent to be had in the second round. I know a lot of people are linking Troy Franklin out of Oregon to the Patriots. He's got the size. He's kind of an early second round guy. I know there are certain people saying the Patriots should take Marvin Harrison Jr. with their first pick. could not disagree with more personally. I don't think a receiver of his caliber is going to save the Patriots in any capacity if they don't go in there. But one guy I like a lot, both because he's a good player and he's got an all-time great football name, Ladd McConkey.
Yeah,
I think he's an awesome route runner. He's a Georgia guy. I think Georgia has done pretty well in the draft historically. I think he ran a 4.38 40, which is absolutely insane. So I think he'd fit really well into the system. So if they go receiver, I like Troy Franklin and I like McConkey, just because if I can just say McConkey really loud, I'll be a very happy guy. But I'm with you. I'd actually love to see them go quarterback if they go quarterback, and then offensive line in the second round for sure.
Totally. I mean, I could see McConkey being very much like a Deion Branch type for the Patriots. And I love that. That would be a really good fit. I think that he would do really well on the outside. Demario Douglas on the inside. Osborne as the third. Like, that's a really good group. There's a lot of players with special traits at wide receiver that, you know, also produced in college. And that was the big thing with Tyquan Thornton, is like, sure, he had special speed, but did it ever really look like it on the field? Did he ever really pull it together? You have Adonai Mitchell with Texas, who I think he's at the combine record for the fastest 40. And then he produced as well with that speed. You have Keon Coleman, who is a beast for Florida State. As you mentioned, Troy Franklin for Oregon. Xavier Leggett really came on this last year for South Carolina. He's that player that I feel like in years past, if you had been like, this wide receiver was made in a lab for the New England Patriots to take. You know, that receiver has taken many forms over the years. It's not one specific prototype. Maybe one year everyone's like, it looks like Wes Welker. And then other years it's like, okay, everyone knows that they should have taken Deebo Samuel, that kind of a thing. Leggett is that player for me this year, where if like there's one receiver that they took, I'd be like, he can't fail with the Patriots. He absolutely cannot. So that there's just like a lot of really strong wide receivers that have top tier ability that could be like, you know, either we can see what their upside is, but I think they bring that like quick twitch, that speed on the outside that they really need. They just need to have a next level dimension to allow players like Pop Douglas to produce underneath.
Yeah, for sure. I think he'd be a good fit. Again, it's all about what I'm hoping Jerod Mayo is really working on doing here is constructing a roster. And based on his free agency signings thus far, I really think he's thinking big picture. He's thinking macro, which is a good thing. And I think those guys are both really fit well on the roster overall. However, Rich, it would not be a Patriots draft preview. I can't let go of this. We got to talk DBs.
Yep.
That's what they do. I know they're pretty well set at the secondary. I wouldn't say they're like really lacking there, but I can see them taking a CB in the second round. I like Mike St. Strissel. I think you know how you pronounce his name, out of Michigan. He's pretty badass. I think he's got a second round grade on him. I think he'd be a really good fit in the outside. You can work in the slot really well. I'm not hoping they take a defensive back, but we all know how this story ends, Rich Hill. Jerod Mayo is a Bill Belichick product. So if they go CB, I'd like to see them go with the Michigan guy, and St. Strissel. I think he's a good fit.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, if I'm looking at the Patriots roster, they have made choices, you know, like Miles Bryant isn't back, but like they're banking on some of the players coming back and being productive. Thinking of Marcus Jones. Sorry, what's that? Yeah, I mean, like when I look at the Patriots roster right now, I think that they've made some choices in the secondary. Like they made the choice not to retain Miles Bryant, who'd been their nickel corner. And I think that means that they're expecting a lot of the other players that they have to really stand up. And honestly, it's because they did well last year. I think Alex Austin, outside cornerback, but like he performed really well down the stretch last year. Christian Gonzalez obviously coming back from an injury. I think Sean Wade showed a little bit of upside, but you have Jonathan Jones and Marcus Jones, who I think they're going to really bank on. You have enough of a cast at cornerback that I feel pretty good about it, unless they want to transfer any of them to be that deep free safety. And to me, that is the big thing, that when I look at that secondary from last year and like, what were they missing that they had in previous years? And it was Devin McCourty. They didn't have a center field safety. And I think it forced Kyle Duggar, you know, got his contract extension. They have Jabril Peppers, but I think it forced Duggar to play a little bit out of position. And I think the whole secondary would be a little bit better if they had that true deep center free safety again. And maybe that's Jonathan Jones. Maybe they think that they want to keep him closer to the line across from Christian Gonzalez. But if I'm the Patriots, if I'm going to do that surprise second round safety or a surprise second round defensive back, it's going to be a safety. And I don't really know who they think. And that's why it's always going to be a surprise. But it could also just be one of those cornerbacks that eventually gets converted to cornerback. So really just looking for those players that have really special speed, as well as ones that know how to captain a secondary, the ones that don't make mistakes. And that's hard to come by. I think a lot of the safeties coming into this class have a higher missed tackle rate, but that's just kind of the nature of the game. And so if I'm the Patriots, wouldn't be surprised if they took one of those flexible cornerback safety hybrids and just moved them to the center field.
Yeah, I think this draft is really tricky because I really couldn't tell you. There's a lot of teams out there with a lot of holes. And you mentioned how there can be a run at a certain position at a certain point in the draft. And, you know, there's a very good chance that one of the top safeties in the maybe Tyler Newbin could be there at 34, depending on how the rest of the draft shakes. I mean, Kalen Bullock is there. And if they have like a player like that, I can see them taking a safety because they don't have the Devin McCourty, to your point. Yeah, they have Kyle Duggar, and I'm very excited about him. But maybe the safety tandem isn't quite what it could be. But again, I'd rather not them take a DB in any capacity. I think they can do that in rounds three and beyond. I'd like to see them go offense in some capacity, trade back offense either. Last one on second down, Rich, second round. Do you, if you had to guess, do you see them staying at 34, or do you think they're going to move that pick?
I think they would move that. I mean, it is a valuable pick. Like picks at the top of the second day of the draft always get a premium when they get traded because player or teams get to say like, okay, the board has been reset. We know what's available. And then teams will go into that day of the draft being like, this is a player I had a first round grade on. I need to move up and get them. And so it's a pretty valuable spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if they traded it down. I think this team has enough holes and enough open roster spots. They have something like 20-ish. I mean, they have a lot of roster spots that they can fill. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to pick up more available players in this draft. And so that would involve trading down, maybe pick up an extra day two pick. I think it'd be worth doing, especially because, as we mentioned, it's a pretty deep class. Like, obviously, there's like a top tier of players, but if I'm the Patriots, I don't know if I feel that much stronger about like a Troy Franklin in the, you know, late 30s versus like a Ricky Purcell coming out of Florida in the mid 50s. Like, there's going to be players that you can get at various points throughout this round that I would feel pretty good about. And like, again, they have enough holes that like you want to get more of those blue chip players. All the advanced analytics always say that trading down towards that end of the second round, top of the third, is like the most undervalued spot in the draft because you get a lot of top tier starters there. And I think that this draft is no different. I think you're going to find a lot of really talented players coming off the board at that round. And if a team is willing to pay the Patriots a lot to go to that area, I would be very happy with it.
Yeah, so would I. And they can move back into upper round three and four and five, which I'd love to talk about with you, Rich Hill. We got more rounds to talk about after this. All right, Rich Hill. Drake May, round one, obviously. We're going receiver, round two, obviously. Rounds 3, 4, and 5. We could even go to round 6 and 7 if you want, where it's kind of the total crapshoot. Assuming they go offense, do you think they move to the defense, or do they keep going offense all across the board? What would you see them do in kind of the middle part of the draft here?
I think they're going to go trenches. If I'm the Patriots, if I'm at that point, and like, you need players, right? Like, I'm going trenches. You can get really high tier quality starters in the trenches. Talking about offensive interior, defensive interior, or linebacker, you can get high quality starters in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th round. Especially on that defensive line spot and that interior line, maybe less so at the linebacker role, but you go into like who can help the Patriots. Again, they don't have a strong right tackle or a strong left tackle, assuming that Onwenu is taking up the right. They have a core four that they signed to a 1-year deal, but that's not going to prevent them from trying to invest in a tackle this year. And there's a pretty deep tackle class as it relates to prospects with higher upside. You can think of like the Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, the tackle out of Yale, Kieran, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but there's a lot of really high quality tackles that you can get in those middle rounds, but especially also on the interior. I think Christian Mahogany coming out of Boston College, my alma mater, I think would be a great fit for them to have. Any of the Michigan offensive linemen, I think would be a really good fit as well. And what is going through my head on this is like, A, how much longer is David Andrews going to stick around? That is one position that is, if you don't fill it this year, might be a vacancy next year. So you might as well get someone in the system. City Sow, I thought, did a pretty good job at the right guard spot. So it's worth continuing to invest in. But Cole Strange has been injured so much. And also when he's been on the field, he's been pretty middling, that it wouldn't be wrong to take another offensive interior lineman that could play either guard or center, with the express goal of them competing directly with Cole Strange at that right left guard spot. And if so, that would be a great choice. I think that obviously, like, they need to have depth at those positions anyways. Antonio Mafi was just terrible last year on the interior, and they don't have Ferentz coming off of the practice squad at age 60 anymore. So like, they just need to get a good fourth interior lineman that they know can compete and be fine. And honestly, maybe even Cole Strange moves to center. That was one of the positions of consideration for him coming out of the draft. So if I'm the Patriots, absolutely investing in the trenches in those middle rounds.
Yeah, I'd love to see them get a guy like Graham Barton out of Duke. He's a tackle that could be a center. I can't imagine he'll be there in round 3. He had to get a first round or a high second round grade on him. But I'd like to see some positional versatility along the offensive line, because there's been so much shuffling. Your point about Andrews is a good one. Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma is another good tackle. My only real – I think it's Amig Gaji, I think is how you pronounce Kieran's last name, but I completely guessed that one. I think the only real concern is, Rich, you know, obviously right now their starting left tackle is air. I they don't actually have a starting left tackle, in my personal opinion. So they need somebody. And do you want, if you're going with like a rookie quarterback, do you want a rookie quarterback and a rookie left tackle on the field at the same time, or a rookie left tackle protecting Jacoby Brissett? And do you want to make your franchise, quote unquote, left tackle the guy you draft in round 3 or later? Or should we maybe redact our statement and go back to round 2, get a tackle there?
Okay, Alec, my question to your question is, we know what's on the Patriots roster right now. It's a lot of the retreads that they had last year at tackle. Calvin Anderson redid his contract, say, with the Patriots. You got Vidarian Lowe, Connor McDermott. You add in Stuber and then Tyrone Wheatley. A lot of players that couldn't even really break onto the field when they were with the Patriots last year. How much do you attribute their poor production last year to them not having the ability to play versus it just being a true failure of offensive scheme, knowing how badly the offense performed over the past 2 years, where a lot of players who produced not just mediocrely, but well in other teams, all of a sudden forgot how to play football last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough when you have a receiving core and a quarterback that just doesn't scare you, and you can cover everybody one-on-one pretty much every down, not have to worry about it. Why would you not just overload the box all the time and completely overwhelm the offensive linemen who weren't, I mean, David Andrews is great. Omenu's good, but they weren't this kind of like, Dallas Cowboys style offensive line. They just weren't really working as a unit. So I think there's probably a little column A, a little column B to answer your question. There's probably more talent on this roster than was displayed last year. But there's none of the guys you mentioned are guys like, well, thank goodness he's starting this week. There's not really a scenario like that yet. And I would like to see them get their guy. That's why I said in first down, I hope they trade down and get a tackle with their first round. I know it's not like a fun pick, but that's what they need more than quarterback right now. Drake May's not going to lead this team to Super Bowl this year, but having a franchise left tackle in place will. I'm just a little concerned if you wait till rounds 3 or 4 to get your tackle or your center, he might not be of the caliber that you're going to need to rebuild the roster fully.
Totally. And I agree. And I don't think that Drake May is enough of a generational prospect to forego building the rest of your roster. And if you can pick up a future first round pick while moving down to get that offensive lineman, that'll make whoever is your quarterback's life easier this year and whichever rookie next year, you should go for it. Especially then, like, if you can add in a blue chip wide receiver, that gives them a year in the system. So it's not just all rookie on rookie kind of situation. And then next year you're going to have, if it all doesn't work, you're going to have your first round pick plus the first round pick of the team you traded with that will hopefully give you enough trade options to move up into the top 5, knowing that you'll also have your future pick. And so if I'm the Patriots, I would be very okay just racking up blue chip players as opposed to trying to find a franchise savior at quarterback.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think rounds 3 through 5 is kind of the Patriots to really hit pay dirt on a lot of positional players. Along those being running backs, I think, Rich. Yep. I know it's not like an area of dire need for them, but the Pats are not really the kind of team that gives running backs a second contract. They tend to use them for 4 years, then he goes off and does elsewhere. And I feel like round 4 or 5 might be a good time to take a running back. Anybody you like in particular that's going to be available around there?
Yeah, I mean, most of them. I feel like the days of round 1 running backs are pretty much long gone. But there's a pretty good grouping of them coming out in that, round 3, round 4 turn. Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. You had Marshawn Lloyd out of USC, who's dealing with some injuries, but really showed a lot when they were on the field. Who's the other one? Shipley out of Clemson is another player that, like, really needs to improve his pass blocking, but like if he can sort that out, he's that ideal third down back coming out of the backfield for the Patriots and truly the way that they are used to. So there's a lot of those players that, you know, could be solid. I'm not looking to get a all-time running back on this roster, but if they can get another one of those players, I mean, Ramondre Stevenson style, just get a player that can spell him, knowing that like he's going to be a free agent soon, someone that can move the chains, that can block. Like I'm all for the idea of them moving to having like 3 down backs and having multiples of them, but they just need to really commit to it.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you, a guy I really like is Braylon Allen out of Wisconsin. He's 6'2", like 240, and he's only 20 years old. And he's just like he's coming off a pretty down year in the Wisconsin system. So I think it might affect his draft status. He could drop way lower than he's worth. So I can see them taking a flyer on him. And if they have Ramondre is kind of like your between the tackles, kind of hybrid pass catching back, you have a pure third down back, and then just like a bulldozer at the goal line, I think that would be good. Because whatever going on, I know you and I talked about it last year, Rich Hill, but how much the Patriots needed to establish the run and be a running team, and they just could not do that at all. That's doubly true if they have a rookie under center. You know, running backs and tight ends are a rookie's best friend, Rich. And I'd love to see him take a running back in rounds maybe 4 or 5. I think it'd be a lot of fun. Tight end, we haven't talked about them either. They kind of need a tight end. Hunter Henry's been re-upped. That's kind of it for the tight end room, unless something magic happened that I missed in terms of actual quality play. You think they'll target a tight end in the draft? Maybe another free agent they're going to bring in? Obviously, no one's going to be lighting the world on fire. I don't think there's a lot of tight ends in this class that are going to really set the world on fire in terms of later rounds, but there's still some good guys out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, if they could somehow get Brock Bowers at the end of the first, I would be all down for that one, but that's just not going to happen. No. And outside of that, I think Ben Sinnott out of Kansas State is someone that I would be interested in, just truly high athleticism. And in reality, when you're looking at tight ends, that's all you're drafting. Like you look at the tight ends that have panned out or contributed on their rookie contracts. It's usually just those like the Iowa guys who somehow run like a 4.6 at 250 pounds. Like that's the checkbox. Like, do you have the upside? Are you a willing blocker? Have you shown some ability to catch the ball? And that's Ben Sinnott. Like, that's what I would look for on that one. But in reality, most tight ends don't contribute until their second contract. So if they were to say, you know what, we can take a flyer in, you know, round 6 or 7, by all means go for it. But outside of Sinnott, I don't think that there's a lot of tight ends that I'd be like, cool, I'm glad you got them.
Yeah. One guy I kind of like is, where is he guys? He's Cade Stover, who's out of Ohio State. That's fair. I believe I like him. I think he's like a fourth round grade. So he could be had in the fourth round. Came off the defensive side of the ball. So he's got a good football IQ for reading defenses. He's a catch first, block second back. So I don't know if they're looking for that from the tight end as opposed to like a more blocking tight end to complement Hunter Henry. But he's kind of like a dual receiving threat, which I could see them taking like a fourth round guy. But yeah, maybe a fifth round flyer and a guy works out, and a sixth round flyer and a guy works out. To that point, Richie, let's get to fourth down. The later rounds of the draft, round 6, round 7, where no one good's ever come out. This seems to be where the Patriots shine for some reason. They only have 2 6-round picks, and they have 1 7th-round pick. Usually they have like 6 6-round picks and 3 7th-rounders they move around with, but it's pretty sparse at the end of the draft. This is kind of a crapshoot, Rich, so I'm not going to ask you who you think they're going to pick, but is there anybody in particular that you just think could be a fun flyer, maybe a late-round guy that you see and be a good Patriot for whatever reason?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And by the way, Patriots are absolutely going to trade down and pick up a half dozen of those round 6 or 7s. Because, like, again, this is a Patriots podcast. I know Bill Belichick's not at the helm, but this is just what advanced analytics say. After pick 150, it's a lot of coin flips. Yep. And you might as well pick up as many coin flips as you can. Obviously, like, slightly marginally higher success rate at 150 versus 250, but like, not notably better. The average career production of a player is 0 after 150. So you might as well just try and pick as many high upside players as you can. And to that end, they should get a couple quarterbacks. If I'm the Patriots, why not? Get Joe Milton. Get those players that have the truly like astounding just skill set. Maybe it never came together. Maybe they're injured. Get him. Get Sam Hartman coming out of Notre Dame with his gorgeous locks. Like, that, those are the players that I would be very okay with them bringing along just for the offseason, because I don't think that the Patriots have any quarterbacks. You know, I like Brissett, but like, Bailey Zappe is not it. And nope. I think any of these players could very well unseat him as it relates to the upside that they provide. And honestly, like, you know, they just need a practice squad quarterback anyways, and it could be fun. Joe Milton can just throw the ball out of the stadium. He can throw it over the mountains. I want Joe Milton on the team.
All right. I like it. I'm going to go. So this is the Patriots podcast, and we're going to kind of do what the Patriots do. And the Patriots are going to draft in round 6 or round 7, Sione Vaki out of Utah. Only because under his position, it just says yes. He has played everywhere. He's a special teams guy. He played safety. He played running back when some guys went under. He's been all over the place. He's not great at anything. He's a good tackler, but he's not like a world beater. But I feel like he's kind of a gadget player the Patriots love. He's a good athlete, and they'll kind of find a spot for him somewhere the way they did with Julian Edelman, say. Or, you know, they can convert guys all the time. If there's a good athletic dude, I can see the Patriots taking a flyer on a guy like him and just finding a spot for him. He becomes a special teamer, and all of a sudden he's starting safety. That's a story as old as the Patriots are. So maybe he's my hope for a late flyer guy. Sione Vaki out of Utah. Mark it up.
That's good. I mean, if I'm the Patriots, but also just like reading the tea leaves on this one, University of Michigan players, they're going to get a lot of trench players. We've seen it with Winovich, with Uche, like they, Stuber was Georgia. They've been getting a lot of trench players out of Michigan. And I wouldn't be surprised if they continued that this year, especially knowing that they were deep. You know, Drake Nugent is going to be their center prospect. He's like 6'2", 300 pounds, like 6th, 7th round type of player. I think the Patriots would love to get that type of player that they can plug in there. That's like a David Andrews to a T type of a prospect that you could put in there. But really, University of Washington, I would be shocked if they didn't draft at least one player from the University of Washington, most notably because they outperformed all expectations this past year, but two, because the Belichicks have been hanging out there. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously Steve Belichick is their new defensive coordinator. Bill Belichick was just, you know, chilling on campus kind of a thing. If I were the Patriots, or, you know, as a Patriots fans, I would just get my mind ready for the Patriots to feel comfortable with any inside intel they have on the University of Washington, and would expect the Patriots to get at least a couple skill players from there.
Awesome. I think that would be awesome. Again, Belichick's imprint and footprint will be on this team for a while. Yep. And I think Bill Belichick, I think he's joining the Peyton Manning cast for the draft, which would be really interesting. He'll say more in that podcast than he said in every draft I've ever watched of his. So that'll be really cool. Well, Rich, that's our four downs. I'm excited about it. Should be a lot of fun. Last question is to go for an extra point here or go for two. If you could just quarterback a dream draft for you, I'm not going to have to go through all seven rounds, but just like you'd walk away from your dream draft with blank. What fill in that blank for me?
Yeah. Hope.
Okay.
A feeling of potential. There is nothing that would disappoint me more than them saying, we're going to stay pat at third overall, and we're going to take J.J. McCarthy. Right. And that would be the most disheartening thing for me, to try and leave and be like, I can't spin that. I can't even, you know, I liked the N'Keal Harry pick because, you know, the Dominator rankings, you know, he was so young and he performed so well. Like, he had so much upside. Like, I can drink some Kool-Aid. I would be so off the wagon if they took J.J. McCarthy third overall, when there's just like so much other value. Because the biggest thing, again, my biggest criticism of the Bill Belichick Patriots over the past 5 years is that they thought that they were smarter than everyone else when it came to the draft. That when you look at the average, you know, consensus expectation for a player was always down here, and the Patriots would take them in the second round, and it almost never worked out. And it happened over and over and over and over again. And lo and behold, none of the picks were any good. None of the picks stuck around. The one time that they did pick players roughly as expected, you know, Christian Barmore. Look at that. you look at Anfernee Jennings, Josh Uche. Those are the players that were drafted roughly around expectation. And look at that. They worked. And so if the Patriots come out of here in this draft and they're just taking people that they think they're smarter than everyone else at, I'm going to be absolutely livid, Alec. I just want them to just give me a healthy draft where they just pick players that we've heard of at the right moment.
If that is the case, I will come into the podcast wary and alert. I appreciate the heads up. I like the feeling of hope. Like, I think it always sucks, especially if you're one of the teams toward the bottom and you leave the draft weekend not excited about your new hopes. I mean, there's always, you can always delude yourself as a fan and be like, oh, these are going to be seven Hall of Famers on the team now. This is the start of the turnaround. But sometimes you leave the draft being like, what the hell was that? That sucked. Then you got to sit there and stew in it until mini camp starts. So I'm with you there. I'm going to be a little more, I guess, practical in mind. Again, I said it earlier. I know it's not a happy one. Trade down, take one of the premier tackles. Take Alt, I'd be totally happy with that. Take Troy Fatanu, I'd be very happy with that. Maybe trade back up into the late first round. You can get like a Michael Penix or a Bo Nix. I'd be very happy with either of those two guys over Drake May. I don't need one of the top three quarterbacks because, again, it's such a crapshoot. But a tackle's going to work. A Penix, a Bo Nix, I am all for that. And, again, like I said, I want to see them take a running back and a tight end in the middle rounds that'll kind of have some kind of impact. After that, I'm going to be pretty happy. Because no one knows anything, Rich. I wish I could be one of those guys that did mock drafts, because you can be wrong all the time and nobody cares. So please trade down Jerod Mayo. I know you won't, because you're not fielding any good offers at the moment, but I'd love to see a trade down, take a tackle, and get a quarterback in the late first, early second.
I mean, Pat Lane is going to be livid at us on this one, but I would also be fine if they took Bo Nix at 34. Yep. And, you know, that Andy Dalton-esque Bengals style, like, you take that top tier, you know, they take AJ Green and then they went to Dalton in the second round. I'd be fine with them trading down. You add in, you know, an Adunze, or you get, you know, whatever blue chip wide receiver, and then also a blue chip offensive tackle. And then you take Bo Nix in the second one. I'm not going to be mad at that. And you know why? Because a second round quarterback doesn't stop you from taking a first round quarterback in the next year or two. If you take a first round quarterback, you kind of committed to them for a bit. It's hard to break it, but it's very easy to say, well, this is a second rounder. Like, I like have the draft capital this year. I think we can't miss this prospect. And it's so much easier to do. I think Bo Nix has a lot of upside, even though he's 24 years old. He's on the older side. But that's upside that I'm willing to take in the second round. Maybe not in the first round, but happy to do it in the second.
For sure. The good news is, Rich, the time for speculating is now over. The draft is upon us. I think Pat and Matt will be doing it live. I'm going to try and stop by later on tonight. We can talk about the first round pick live. I don't know if you can make it. If you can, great. If you can't, no big deal. But I'm psyched to come back on the next podcast. We can break down the 5 to 7 to maybe 9 new Patriots. And we can talk about undrafted free agents and all that cool stuff. There's a really fun kind of draft afterglow where the more guys get signed and we can kind of break down how great everyone's going to be. It should be fun.
Yeah, and I can't wait. Patriots got 10 Hall of Famers this draft. That's absolutely absurd, Alec. Yeah, I'm very excited to break that down with you. And until next time, Alec, you have a good one.
You too, buddy. See ya.
Later, man.